Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is The Power of Meditation.
You know, today is the seventh day of the Lunar New Year. And those of us who know our tradition is so-called Humanities Day. That means the day in which we celebrate everyone's birthday. Amen? You know, say to your neighbor, happy birthday. You know, one thing, but it's interesting that on the seventh day in the Lunar New Year is deemed as Humanity Days, in which everyone is like, it's their birthday again, right? It's perfect in that sense of what we can see in our life when we know Jesus Christ, when we are born again, we are born into a newness of life, you know, and it's important for us to keep on reflecting and thinking together what I've been talking about, meditating on the Word of God. And it's good that before I jump to the sermon, let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." So this is a promise in the Old Testament. And when you and I begin to meditate on God's word, it says that the length of days and long life will be added to you. Amen? Some of you say, "I don't want long life." You want long life. But you know, some people say, "But long life, no point, because I may be sick." But it says here, "For length of days and long life and peace," shalom. So shalom means salvation, wholeness, completeness will be added to you. Amen? But it goes further. "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Here again, we see that let not mercy and truth, to me, mercy and truth is always the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here we see a foreshadowing of the gospel. Let the gospel of grace, let the gospel of peace bind them and write them in the tablets of your heart. Amen? To meditate on the word of God, and he says that we will always find favor in the sight of God and men. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Amen. In fact, this is my life verse. Since from a very young child, now to a young man, you know, this has been my life verse. Do not try to understand the ways of God, but know the heart of God, because he is a righteous father. There are many things in my life I can't reconcile, but I know my Father is righteous. And he says that as long as I trust him to direct my life, you know, I shall walk in the path of life. Amen? He goes further. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." So there is not just a physical, spiritual benefit to our life, but there is also a physical benefit to our life here. This is what the Word of God is about. The Word of God is not so spiritual in the sense that it's all about the Spirit. But the Spirit of God, through His Word, is able to minister to us spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And you don't think that we need to be Bible experts to know the Bible. When I was in Bible school, I read this famous quote by this great man of God who says that the Word of God is so shallow that a child can walk on it without fear of being drowned. But it is so deep that a profound theologian cannot even touch its bottom. It's interesting. Now, so if you think you are a child of God, yeah, you are new in the faith, or you don't know the Bible well, don't worry, the Bible is not intimidating. Somehow God is able to speak to you at your level. But if you are so-called very mature in faith, you are of this theologian kind of par excellence kind of level, God also can speak to you in a very profound level. But for the child or the theologian, both of you can draw strength and revelation from God's word. But it doesn't mean that, oh, I'm not a Bible-trained person, or I do not know the Bible that well, I better keep myself away from the scripture until I know the scripture. That doesn't work that way. It's almost saying, don't swim until you learn how to swim. Start as a child. It's so shallow, you can tread on it, you won't drown. But as you grow, it becomes so deep that your feet cannot even touch its bottom. And that's how we should have that pleasure of knowing God's word. Let's look at some of our PowerPoint slides that we've been talking about the past few weeks. Here we all know is the first psalm tells us that we must meditate on God's law day and night. And the word meditate, remember, is a word that means what? Ruminate, right? Or chewing the cud, or to feed on the word of God. And we shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. As I say that, we are not like that, that usually you go and look at some Christian poster, oak tree planted by a small little stream. That's not the idea. It is a deliberate planting of the gardener. We have been transported from the kingdom of darkness and planted in the kingdom of light. Amen. And here streams of water keep on flowing. There's always ample supply. Our Christian life, our spiritual life, is not subjected to the economic cycle or ups and downs. There's always a supply of the grace of God through His Word that keeps us fresh at all times so that our leaves will not wither, right? In all season, we will prosper. Amen? So whatever we do, we shall prosper. Amen. Next, here in the New Testament, here we see, next slide please. Here is what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 tells us about you can hear the gospel and yet not benefit from it. And so Paul began to tell the believer that to hear the gospel, he says here, in verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Them referring the people who were the children of God as they were called to enter the promised land. The promised land is a picture of what it means to know Jesus Christ. It is a picture of our salvation. Today, you and I are not trying to get to the promised land. We are in the promised land. I know sometimes we sing some songs, especially some songs, one day I'll get to the promised land. No, one day you're not getting the promised land. You are in the promised land. Right? Especially when we sing funeral songs, Sweet By and By. One day we'll cross Jordan. We have crossed Jordan already. You can't cross it anymore. Right? We are in the promised land. But here it says here that they did not profit. Remember the word I say profit means to put them on the cutting edge. That's what it is about. The word profit is to put you in an advantage, to put you in a cutting edge. Not being mixed with faith. The Greek word sekaranemi actually means something to do with digestion. It is a whole process of you putting food in your mouth. It goes through all your digestive system and all this stuff that you consume is absorbed into your body. You get what I'm saying? So it is about us just not just meditate on something, but what we're feeding on, it will benefit us. We draw strength. So for us to be put in the cutting edge, and this is God's purpose. He wants us to prosper whatever we do, isn't it? So the way to get ourselves to be prosperous in whatever we do begins with what are we eating? You know the old saying, you are what you eat. You can see I've been eating a lot of apple, right? Right, and sometimes the thing is, and sometimes we often think that, oh, sometimes, you know, there's another saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. You heard that saying before? But let me tell you, but that is unscriptural. What you don't know is killing you. Because here God says, my word is for your benefit. My word is to give you longevity. And not just longevity, but health as well as favor, as well as shalom, isn't it? No, it's good to live a long life. I always pray for a long life. Right? But I always tell God, give me long life till I can live to 90 years old. I'm still full of strength. But when I reach 90 years old, I'm still not yet satisfied. I say, God, 10 more years. Right? If I live to 100 years old, I'm still not satisfied. And now 20 more years. I just pray that Amanda and Ned will take care of me very well. Right? You know? What I'm just saying is that we this was me because we did. When he prayed that God would let him live to 70 years old. When he reached 70 years old, he said, Lord, give me 50 more years. In fact, he died 88 years old. He didn't even die of sickness. He just take a deep breath. There he goes. And where was he? He was on the way to a funeral, actually. So that day, there was two funerals, in a sense. But he lived the life knowing that God's word is full of light. In fact, if you read his biography, it says that Smith figures were do not go more than 50 minutes without reading the Bible once. He has a small pocket Bible he put in his coat pocket. And so every 50 minutes, he would just read a verse. And he just meditate on the Word of God. That is what it means to mix with faith. It's not just reading the Word or just memorizing a scripture, but it will let it digest in your spirit until it becomes really part and parcel of your whole Christian life. Amen? Next. You know, here we all know this verse very well as well, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. In fact, if you read in Greek, it means faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Now, it's not hearing your pastor's sermon again and again. That will be good. Right? It's not just downloading other people's sermon and hearing it. But hearing the word of God means specifically that there's a time in which we go into a verse or a word or a passage and we keep on hearing means it's not just audio thing. You know what I mean? Hearing here means you consume it. So it must be part and parcel of everything. Right? Some of us have our favorite song, isn't it? Y'all don't have, you're so sad. You know, we all have our favorite song. I have many favorite songs. Right? And there was a season in my life, I played nothing for almost 2 months. Now, this is called obsessive compulsive behavior. But I call it hearing and hearing. The song I was hearing again and again for 2 whole months was Shout to the Lord, right, by Hillsong. And that was a season that I just going through a lot of issues in my life. And somehow the words of the song ministered to me. It spoke to me. And I began to talk about, you know, the grace of God. And I shout to the Lord, became so infused in my spirit that when I begin to hear shout to the Lord, it reminds me back to the grace of God again. It reminds me of the goodness of God. So in our life, this is what it's about, that when we begin to meditate, when we begin to hear something, is to hear it again and again and again. Don't ever, ever be saying, oh, the gospel, I know already. Oh, grace, I know already. We are not doing something like a subject, you get what I'm saying? We're not like passing a test. Like, oh, I know this already, I don't need to learn again. In fact, to hear it again and again, remember, it is health to your body and life to your bones. Amen. Something is happening for you. Amen. Next one. And it's interesting that when we talk about hearing by faith, remember, Jesus is our perfect example. He was one who lived his life hearing by faith. Here he says in John chapter 12, he was having this conversation with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees was full of the need of living by their tradition. They go by a lot of strictness of their life, legalism, so that they can win the favor of men. But Jesus began to tell them how to operate in a whole different dimension. He says here, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." Hallelujah. So here is Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. He hears what the Father is saying to him. He speaks what the Father is asking him to speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Why was Jesus so successful in his ministry? It's not because he was just a son of God. We all know that when Jesus came down on earth, he gave out all his divine power, his sovereign power, isn't it? All he had was the power of the Spirit. When he went to the desert, he came out of the desert full of the power of the Spirit. And what happened was this, that whatever he did from that day on, he spoke as a son hearing his Father. He knew what his Father is doing. And he was participating with what his Father is doing. And that's why you see success in his ministry. Hallelujah. You know, wherever Jesus goes, he is an asset to people. Right? The blind can see, the lame can walk, the hungry fed. The dead was even raised to life. The question is, people, if you really want to be an asset to anyone, you want to be an asset to your company, you want to be an asset in your family, you want to be an asset to any relationship you're in, it first begins not about your gifts and talents. It begins about you hearing what the Father is doing. Hearing what the Father God is working in the lives of people. And that's why Jesus is always successful in his ministry. Not because he was powerful by himself, but he said he leaned his authority all on what the Father is saying. He said, what I should say and what I should speak all comes by revelation. Hallelujah. So that whatever Jesus did, he was successful. Whatever he touched, he prospered. There's nothing Jesus ever did that caused things to go bad. It always caused things to go better. Hallelujah. And this is where we must begin to learn. In Proverbs, next slide, it says, Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, in fact, the word power comes from the Hebrew word called yad. Actually, yad, it means hand. So, it really literally, it says, death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Huh? What does it mean? Now, we must think Hebrew. Hand is where we create things, isn't it? We use our hands to create stuff, to make stuff, to produce stuff. So here it is literally saying, death and life is created, or the tongue has a creative force that can bring life or death. And those who love what they say will eat the fruit of what they say. Ever hear the saying? You eat back your words. Well, if you're going to eat back my words, you better make sure all the words you say are good words. Isn't it? No. For where I come from, every time we hear bad news, when I was growing up, every time we hear something bad, we say, "Aiyah, aiyah, die, die, die." I know most of you are very sophisticated people, you never say that. But from where I come from, when I hear bad news, "Aiyoh, die, die, die." Everything is die, die, die. Then after that, it's why? Because you can't die. You are creating something to a situation. Because here God says, what you say will produce something that you're going to consume. That's what it means literally. So faith comes by hearing. But fear also comes by hearing. Think about it. What are we hearing? Jesus said, you want faith, and most of us always pray that, Lord, make me more faithful, isn't it? Part of our prayer life is, God, make me more faithful. Help me grow in faith, or help me increase in faith. So, to increase in faith begins by what am I hearing? And able to filter out what I'm hearing. So, faith comes by hearing, so does fear come by hearing. But if I'm not hearing right, that's what Jesus is teaching us. When I hear what my Father is saying to me, when I'm hearing the Word of God speaking to me about who I am, what I have in Christ, whose I am, then I begin to establish myself knowing that the favor of God is there. And then from there, what I'm going to say can bring life or death. Now, life and death here, let me tell you something, people, are not necessarily death here, especially not something negative. Sometimes something is bad. We can speak life that it brings a death to a situation. You get what I'm saying? Like, just say, for instance, if you suffer from insomnia, right, or you can't sleep, some people come to me, they're suffering from insomnia. One of the best things I tell them is always meditate on God's word. Because the word of God is life. And when you meditate on God's word, it brings you sleep. So I always tell people, if you can't sleep, hear the word of God. Pray in the spirit. Rest will come. Or listen to a worship song. Rest will come. And inevitably, that's why I can tell you most of the time, I can tell you, ask Joanne, I sleep like a log. I also saw like a log. Right? Because rest comes. Right? I don't bring rest to her, but I bring rest to myself. You get what I'm saying? And because you begin to, and sometimes you can speak a death to a hurt. You get what I'm saying? You can speak death to an offense. You can speak death to an accusation. You can speak death to even what is bothering you. You get what I'm saying? Or eating you up. You can speak death by the word of God. So here, death is not necessarily something that's bad. That means, as I say, die. Don't say that. But I don't like my feeling. I don't like this feeling that I have. I'm always very fearful. Or I don't like this angry feeling I have. Or I don't like this sense of anxiety. Or whatever you don't like, you can speak death to it by the word of God. Amen? Are we learning, church? It's important. Next. So here, Luke, Jesus elaborate for us further. He says, for a good tree, Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, let's settle this. God has planted us by rivers of waters, right? So we are the good tree that is bearing good fruits. We are the tree that will, our leaf does not wither, and we are fruitful in every season, and wherever we does, we shall prosper. Amen? Amen. So he says here, for every tree is known by its own fruit. Without a doubt, we all know that. Right? You look at an apple, you know it's an apple tree. You look at a coconut, you know it's a coconut tree. Although coconut tree is not a tree actually. But you know what I'm saying? But some lazy people, they plant apple, orange, pear, all into one trunk. I've seen that before in people's house. They just grafted every different fruit so that, he said, well, pastor, every season fruitful. Let's call it Frankenstein. That is not a monster. That is not a fruit tree. But he says here, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, right? So you go to someone who always say bad things. Don't expect that person to gather figs from that person. Nothing sweet will ever come up from that person, right? Nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush, right? There are people whose life, where they talk to you, they kill your spirit. I'm telling you the truth. There are people like that. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Amen? And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. People, there is no such thing called idle talk or empty talk. It means even an idle talk or empty talk comes from the abundance of the heart. Whatever we say is actually a mirror of what we keep in our spirit. Right? And God says, whatever we say here, okay, I have no time to explain it, but you have to take it. On this day, I will break it down for you. But whatever we say will bear fruit. So when I say something, it will bear good fruit or bear bad fruit. Because it depends on what I kept in my heart. Here the word good man Agathos means a man that is always reflecting the truth. The man who lives truthfully, with integrity, in character. But here the evil is not those kind who plot some wicked deeds in the dark. But the word evil comes from a Greek word called panaros. Panaros means full of labors, full of performance, full of hard work. Now, it's not the hard work that we put in our studies or in our workplace or whatever. But the hard work here means you're always laborious, you're always struggling, you're always frustrated, you got what I'm saying? You're always trying this and trying that, but not trying the Word of God. Right? For me, meditation is my medication. Hey, corny, but it's good. Right? Meditation is my medication because God's Word is good medicine. God's Word is good medicine. Right, if we can put so much trust in the medication given to us by the doctors or put so much trust in vitamin supplement, how can we not put trust in the Word of God? You get what I'm saying? If vitamins and pills can give us health, how much more the Word of God that can give us and make us whole, both spirit, soul, and body? Hallelujah. So he says here, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. So what I put in my heart determines what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say, people, like it or not, is going to bear fruit. It will bear fruit. But when it bears fruit, it will mirror what I have always kept in my heart. All right? But of course, as believers, we are called to bear good fruits. We're not called to be full of labors. That means we're not going back to a performance. We're not going back to trying to get ourselves to be successful by our own strength. But we want to be successful by the strength of God. You get what I'm saying? Now, let me give you some ideas. Next slide. It says, how do we store good things in our heart? Right? How do we store good things in our heart? Some of you may say, okay, Pastor, I agree that we need to put good stuff in our treasure of our hearts. How do I go about it? Let me give you a few practical concepts. One is this, worship. Set time to worship daily. Right? Worship is you can do worship all, some of the things I'll tell you. I worship when I'm in the bathroom. I sing all my hymns. I sing all my Methodist hymns to the consternation of my family. Right? There is no peace but I have peace. Oh, and peace flows like a river. Oh yes, water flowing, right? Right? And you worship the Lord, right? And I always keep some of my hymnals next to my bed, and I always open up and start singing, and you're like, you again, nah. So it's me and the Lord. You can't disturb me and the Lord, you know, we're worshiping this and that. But worship also take communion every day if you can. Worship is to, as we know in this church, we believe, you know, communion is something that is the Lord communicate to us. He make himself real to us, right? God make himself real to us in many ways. And communion is one of those ways in which Jesus said, this is his new covenant. So when I partake communion, I'm renewing myself. I'm depositing again the truth of what it means to be in the new covenant. Amen? Amen? So that, no, this is how I store good things. How I worship, I store good things. I take communion, I'm storing good things. Because the next thing I'm going to read is the newspaper. Or I turn on the TV, I watch the news. Oh, bad things happening. You get what I'm saying? And suddenly, when I hear this bad news, it can disturb me. But because I store good things, so when I hear the news of a crisis happening somewhere, I lay hands on my TV set and start praying. Lord, I do not know what's happening, but I know that you're going to cause something good to happen. Because something is a deposit, the goodness of God, the strength of God, the sovereignty of God. And so when I hear bad news, reading the news or hearing the news, I can begin to declare God's goodness. This is how I put good things in, I can put out good things. You get what I'm saying? So this is how we do. Next is what I call feed and confess the word. Right, again, we know feeding on the word. Feeding on the word, again, is not just reading. There are times, ask God, if you have not started feeding on the word, ask God, Lord, show me where you want me to read. If the Lord leads you to read the gospel, which gospel? I tell you, read the gospel of Mark. Number one is the shortest. Right? 16th chapter. But just read and ask God to zoom in for you. And if you have this keenness to hear from God, God will speak to you. You get what I'm saying? Feed on that word. Feed on that word. As I say, you know, God knows what is the season ahead of you. You don't know. But in this season, if God asks you to dwell in love, just dwell in love. If God asks you to dwell in wisdom, dwell in wisdom. You get what I'm saying? If God asks you to dwell in courage, to dwell in courage. Meditate on being courageous. Meditate on being bold. Meditate on overcoming fear. Meditate on the strength of God. Meditate on wisdom. Because the next season that comes, it demands courage from you. It may demand wisdom from you. It may demand love from you. It may demand something of the situation. But because you have amply stored all these good things, all this revelation that you have of God's word in you, you can step in the season and know what to do. Amen? Amen. And you not only feed on it, you confess the word. Don't just look at your crisis, look at your problem, look at your bank account, look at your health report and say, die lah. But Lord, you are a good God. You are a God who promised peace. You are a God who promised me goodness. You are a God who promised me prosperity. You are a God who says that my leaf will not wither. Right? I will be fruitful in all season. Father, I believe you that you're going to think your word is truth. Not your word is a truth, but your word is the truth. And your word is the thing that sets me free. Confess the word. When you hear a sad situation that's happening about people's life, don't say, are you so poor thing? People don't need our sympathy, you get what I'm saying? But people need us as believers to walk in authority. So if I hear something bad about something happening to someone, I begin to confess the word of God over a situation. I begin to speak the things of God over a crisis. What is not as though as it is. Now, it's not a mantra, please. Please, a confession. Not a mantra, please. It's not just reciting something for the sake of reciting something. Not om on the time. But you begin to shape a circumstance by the very word of God. See, Abraham, right? Romans tells us, he did not regard his body or his wife. Abraham tried to help God. Remember, he produced Ishmael. And God has to wait for another 20 over years until what happened? Abraham literally became impotent. And Sarah was totally past her prime, barren. God waited until nothing can happen. But you know what about Abraham? He said he did not regard his own body, can or cannot. But he hold on to the one who said, whose promise is true, that he who say is able to do it, calling forth what is not as though as it is. How often have we called forth over situation as it is? Or we should call and declare God's word over a situation, calling forth that God, this is your verdict, it will be well. Yeah, and there was a season God was teaching me all this stuff. Come on, people, I'm teaching this stuff. It's not as I never go to a crisis. As if my life is always dancing around, prancing around daisies. I'm not that kind of person. I tremble on daisies. But I went through a situation in my life, and there was a season God was teaching me stuff like this, and I realized that God was teaching me issues of this on faith and healing. So when I got to a crisis in my life, I have a health crisis, I was able to call for what is not as though it is. Not because I ignored the health report. I know what it meant. But I said, Lord, your word is still true. What I know is going to give me life because your word is life. Right? So I feed on the word. Because if you are running on empty, you can't. Isn't it? Very few of us, I hope none of us, but very few of us ever drive our car till it comes to an empty tank. I know some of you have very harrowing experiences. Right? But very few of us ever do that, isn't it? Unless you're the guy who got confused, think E is enough and F means finished. But most of us will never do that. Even half tank, we still fill up. Especially today, 99 cents. Oh, even three-quarter tank, we better fill up. We don't care we're late for church, but as long as I fill up my tank. Come on, people! As you are calculating the car, oh, you say just $1 only, but you feel good. 1 cent, you know? 1 cent, you know? Oh, I feel good. How much more people can we think we can run on empty without the word of God? And how then can we pour for good things? Because if the word of God is not in, put it this way, when Christ comes in, fear must get out. When Christ comes in, sickness must get out. When Christ comes in, anxiety must get out. When Christ comes in, sadness must get out. When Christ comes in, foolishness must get out. When Christ comes in, everything that is not of Christ must get out. But if Christ is not there, if I'm running on empty, then I become the evil person. I'm always full of frustration, full of labor, trying to get things done my way. Then what I have is bad fruits that will not last. In fact, very few of us will eat bad fruits. You get what I'm saying? So if you're running on empty, it's not going to work. So feed on it and confess it. Don't just read it, but Lord, you say it's true, it must be true. So I go through that day, having the revelation, and see how it's going to work. Next. It says here, prayers. Not just pray one time. Okay, we know we say grace, or we just say a simple prayer. But can I say, pray all the time. This is what Paul say. You know, pray all the time. Pray unceasingly. Now, don't always think prayer must be a long conversation with God. Sometimes I believe there are such things called Twitter prayers. Right? Send a short prayer to God. You know, go to school, wherever, you say, Lord, just thank you for today, that today will be well. Go through a test. Lord, I can't understand, but give me wisdom to understand. Quick Twitter prayers. throughout the day, Lord, I'm going to have an interview or I'm going to have a meeting with someone. I need favor with this person because that contract will help my company or whatever it is. Shoot short prayers, but also do long conversational prayer. And one other thing I begin to tell you people is this. Now, I like what Dan was saying some months ago. He was preaching about when he goes to work, driving, he begin to pray for the city. Right, and this is what we do. You take the bus, you take the train, just pray for the city, pray what's happening. Just a few days ago, I was reading the council news. You see, crimes have been going on in the neighborhood. You know what did I do? I go for my walk in the evening. So now as I walk in the evening, I go through my estate praying for every house. I say, Father, I just pray for protection, every household here. There will be peace, there will be prosperity, there will be a grace at work. Send angels to God that no crimes will happen in this place. I begin to bless every household. The Lord, they don't know how many people are saved in the name of Jesus Christ, but I pray this year is a year of favor for them, that everyone will get to hear the word of God. I pray for every household. Come on, in Nauru, going to be crime-free because Pastor Tan was praying for them. So when you read that, crime rates up everywhere. I say, in Nauru, you know who's a man. He's a man. I take credit first, no shy, you know. You get what I'm saying? Every time we read something bad, we I better go and get alarm system, security system. I'm not saying we don't make preparation like this. You get what I'm saying now? But we are so natural, trusting in our own labor, they're not trusting as well in the grace of God. You get what I'm saying? We must begin to just shoot quick prayers of the Father every day. Just pray. Everywhere you go, just pray. You know, today most of us, everywhere we go, is the free time, what we do? iPod, mobile phone. No, I was in a train in Singapore. 99% people all looking at their iPad, iPod. No, I cannot because no data. I didn't buy data plan. Okay, join them. You know, I was angry. I was gnashing our teeth. You know, now I wasted just 10 minutes going to from here to there doing nothing. What a waste of time! You get what I'm saying? Sometimes that's our mindset. We don't waste time. But you know something? Just someone telling me the other day, reality show is watching people's life but wasting our own life. Right? So we think we are being fruitful. Actually, a lot of things we Google or look at, a lot of gossipy stuff, you get what I'm saying? Useless information. So we impress people with some useless information. And we think we are very smart. Actually, I just Google it, you get what I'm saying? But rather than just thinking we need to preoccupy ourselves, that I must get my eyes into a screen, why can't I just, Father, just thank you today. Things is going to work out. No, you should step into your office, step into your company, start praying for every table, praying for every person that is, whether you know them, don't know them. Pray for God's protection over a building. No point reading news about terrorists and attacks, whatever it is, and you're always living in fear. Step into a building, step into the situation, just pray. You know, even you see strangers on the road, just pray for them. You don't know what is going to happen. I always believe, because you pray today for someone, or pray for a country, or pray for a situation, it will turn out differently. And you do not know until you go to heaven and God says, because you prayed, because you declare my goodness over a situation, you do not know that one prayer of yours, that short little prayer of yours, that Twitter prayer of yours, actually had caused a change of a situation. Right? But also enjoy long prayers with God. And one of the things I learned in my life, don't tell God how you are today. He knows. Maybe you just ask God, how are you today? If prayer is a conversation, and no one asked to enter conversation into a conversation with someone, all they talk about is themselves. It's not called a conversation, it's called a monologue. Right? And you're just the audience listening. Oh, okay. But when you enter into prayer, you enter into a conversation, ask God, how are you today? Now, it may sound strange. I know a pastor who did that. And God actually one day spoke to him and said, I am fine. In fact, it goes back that he was a very busy pastor and what happened was and one day he was praying and the Lord God put his spirit say, you know, every day people ask me for this, ask me for that, but no one ever asked me how I am. You know? And this pastor was, huh? Actually, I need to ask God the kind of question. God said, why don't you try? And so he said, Lord, if I'm gonna ask you how you are today, I'm sure you got a lot of things to tell me. God said, yes. But I'm very busy, you know. So the Lord says, well, if you can give me some time, every day I will talk to you. And so he looked at his schedule. He only can give God 2 a.m. in the morning. So every day he sits in his sofa, in his living room, sitting on the sofa, looking at empty seat in front of him. Imagine God was there. So say, at 2 a.m. in the morning, he said, Lord, how are you today? Then begin to just reflect what may happen around what God's days it was. Went on for a while, and one day, he heard his garden door open. He knew he locked it. He heard footsteps walking towards his house. Opened the kitchen door, walked upstairs, because his living area was upstairs. He wondered whether it was a thief. He could hear footsteps. And he was worrying, who could that be? And then at 2 a.m. that morning, Jesus Christ appeared to him and sat down with him and told him, because you asked me how I am today, I'm going to tell you and begin to reveal him stuff. He said, from this day on, he told him this, every time when you preach, when you see me in a meeting, impossible things will happen because I am now with you. How many of us want that? That we can see Jesus. Right, we cannot see Jesus sometimes physically, but we can see Jesus in our spirit. Because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. Come on, people. Yeah. What happened to that guy is a very tangible experience, but doesn't mean, oh, that guy is spiritual. No, it also means for us. Because Jesus said, I am with you, low, even to the end of the age. So your surname is low, thank God. It's for you, man. It's for you at the end of the age. But what is more than that? Next. Speaking and praying in tongues. Now, we all know this. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edifies means to build up. Right? I call domain. Means to build yourself, to renovate. Instead of to renovate. Now, renovate is different from rebuilding a whole house. You get me? Huh? So, if we knock down something to build something, it's not called renovation. Renovation means something not in the best of shape. Like the kitchen cabinet. Okay, we need to renovate a kitchen. Or your bathroom. We need to renovate our bathroom. So, when I pray in tongues, I'm renovating certain things in my life that is not fruitful. You get what I'm saying? It's not in place. Something is not at rest. I'm praying in the spirit, Shikara Bahara. I pray. And it says that, you know, science has proven something. You can find it in a website. Okay, these are legitimate medical report. Then when you pray in the spirit or you speak in tongues, there is a change in your brain wave. In fact, it says the delta wave is a wave that we all have that produces deep sleep. So when we pray in the same, when we pray in tongues, it is the same wave that is produced when we are in deep sleep. That means it is by rest. It brings rest. And scientists can tell us is that tongues, therefore, is not something we engineer or something we fake it. Because if you fake it, there cannot be a change in your brain wave. And precisely there is a change in your brain wave, it means it must be something that is outside just human articulation or human effort. Of course, they will not say it's all spiritual, but it is also the things of the spirit. So when we pray in the spirit, we actually enter into rest. You get what I'm saying? I'm renovating something. I'm rebuilding something. I am causing something to grow that is not growing. I'm praying in the spirit. And here it says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with understanding. I thought about Twitter's prayer, right? I thought about long conversational prayer with God. That is praying with understanding. Like today I see the world, or it's a bad day today, or Lord, I just know that, you know, this crisis that we are facing, or this crisis in this nation, or this crisis in whatever nation we have to bring about. You know, if you are praying with understanding. But then Paul tells us, you can pray with understanding, but you also can pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. As he said, you can sing with the spirit, and also sing with understanding. That's why in our worship, you notice, we don't just sing just the words. In fact, all the songs that we choose often define for us where we are in the finished work. You get what I'm saying? All the songs we talk about is all about pointing us to the atonement, pointing us to our life in Christ. It's always talking about where we are. But you notice in our worship, we also have time where we pray and sing in the spirit as well. Because we lift ourselves to that place of God, that our heart and our spirit is being caused by God to grow from grace to grace. All right. Then in Jude chapter 1 verse 20, he says, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So the word building and edifies comes from the same Greek word. It behooves us to not think praying in the Spirit or speaking in the Spirit is not important in a Christian life. Here it says, if you are feeling let down, you're feeling weak, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling confused, and doesn't mean we are safe, we don't have this kind of feeling. You know what I'm saying? We are hit with the same kind of negative emotion like the rest of the world. But we are given something which is a way out. To build ourselves in the things of God by praying and speaking in tongues. Amen. So this is how you put good stuff in your treasure also. So you begin worshiping God. You feed on the word. You confess the word. You shoot great quick prayers. You have long conversational prayers. When you speak and pray in tongues, all these are putting good stuff into your treasure, into your heart. So if every day you do this, you are storing stuff. So that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You get what I'm saying? So there is never, see, my point I want to push is this. There is never, if you really flow in this kind of stuff, there's never a ready, then the, how should I say it? You never feel that I'm not ready for ministry. You are always ready. And yet there's a blasé way of functioning in life. But when there's a need to minister, you know how to minister because you are flowing with the good stuff that come out from you. Sometimes when people ask us to be involved in ministry, oh, I'm not ready. Actually, we ask them, what does it mean to be ready? Most people cannot tell you what it means to be ready. But let me tell you, most of the time, of course we know, it will be partly fear or maybe sometimes had to do with a time schedule. But I think most of the time, they do not know what can come out of them. You get what I'm saying? Because they are running on empty. But if you always fill out at all times, you know that in every situation, you can minister to people. You're not always thinking, oh, I must be ready. No. You're always ready and steady as well when you start to minister. Right? So pray in the spirit. So you have free time. Don't just jump to your iPad, iPhone, whatever. Right? But really get into the spirit. Pray in the spirit. You know? And I believe, you know, this is a gift from God to us because God wants us to be built up. So when we have the word, we confess the word, we are built up by the word. But something of praying in the spirit is to mix the word with faith so that we will be a cutting edge. Because God wants us to be an asset to people. God wants us to be an asset to every relationship we are in. That we're not a problem, but we are a solution. Amen? That when people come to you, they know there's so much life in you. They cannot help, but they want to talk to you. Even they are non-believers, but somehow they talk to you, they sense there's a change in their own spiritual situation. Of course, ultimately, we want to point them to Jesus Christ. You get what I'm saying? But it must begin that we can influence people's life with godly stuff, good and godly stuff, even before they know God. And this can only happen when we fill ourselves with the stuff of God. Next. It says here, no, this is what I mean. Stockpile on godly and good stuff. What does it mean? Look at this slide. Next slide. Philippians 4:8, this is what Paul says. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. It's all described me here. If there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on all these things. You get what I'm saying? Don't just read bad news. Don't just read, you know, weird stuff off the internet. But look for what is true and noble and just, pure, lovely, good report. If any virtue, you know, or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Stockpile all this good stuff and godly stuff in your spirit. You get what I'm saying? You know, walk with that understanding. And here Paul says here, it's not just about the word. Right? But it's also about every situation we are in. Always look for good reports. Always look for things that is lovely or just. Everything that is wonderful. You get what I'm saying? You know, read testimonies. Read good books. Read, you know, read stuff that build up your faith. You know, listen to sermons. Right? But let me tell you, even if you listen to a sermon, lucky or not, make sure you also listen to your pastor's sermon. Now, I'm not in competition with any pastor. But we also, same time, is this is also the house that you're feeding on. You get what I'm saying now? So, end of the day, I'm not. Somebody come to me, but Pastor so and so and say, Pastor so and so say that. Like Paul, I will say, I'm not an apostle to these people, but I'm an apostle to you. I'm your father in the Lord. You get what I'm saying now? Now, so you can call every pastor there is, but the thing is, I'm still your pastor. But I'm not saying that you cannot read or listen to other sermons. That is wrong. So you get what I'm saying? But there must be a fine understanding. If you feed yourself on other people's teaching, they are your pastor. Then there will be tension of you receiving what God has for you in this house. But if you recognize that we all grow together because there is no competition in the body of Christ. But here is this place you choose to be part of the house that you receive your bread. That it should be that wise. It should be a place you can grow. But I always believe, as I said from the beginning, that the word of God is so shallow that a child can tread on without fear of being drowned. And so deep that a theologian cannot even touch its bottom. But let me tell you, the word of God, if you feed on today, let me tell you people, it's not so much knowledge or content, you get what I'm saying? But if you log into just one part, it has so much substance that it's like manna. It says in the old, when the people gather manna, those who gather too much don't have too much. And those who gather too little don't have too little. They all just have enough. And I believe every day we gather the word of God, this is what it is. To be being fed on the word of God, the revelation that we have, the truth that we have, the just thing that we have. Hear all good stuff. You know, don't just, you know, every day as you enter into a friendship or relationship with anyone, you know, sometimes the first thing we often ask is, how are you doing? And often we expect to hear something negative or sad. Like, you know, but can we sometimes just come to a relationship and say, anything wonderful to tell me? What God is doing in your life? Sometimes you need to help people to shift their focus. Because we think very naturally. Every day we look for problems, or problem looks for us. Every day our mind is, as I say, faith comes by hearing, so does fear comes by hearing. But if we enter into serious relationship with people, we should ask each other, what has God been saying to you? What good things have you learned about God lately? What praiseworthy stuff that you hear about the lives of other people? You know, I love to read, you know, or hear Christian testimonies. Good stuff, because it builds up my faith. Because I believe if God do this for someone, God can do it for me. Amen? So, basically what I'm saying to us is that there are many ways we can store good stuff in our spirit. Meditation is not just limited, just reading the word. But meditation includes worship, feeding and confessing the word, prayers, right? And what else did I say? You know, praying and speaking in tongues, as well as stockpiling. So that at any time, you're always ready, as what the Bible says, a good word in every season. Amen? And those words will always bring forth fruit. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Let's pray.